The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome back to Going In Run News Brief. We're going to try to keep this one brief today. Larson, what's in the news?
Well, get excited, Steve. It looks like John Cena is finally embracing the dark side. No, he's not coming back to WWE for a massive heel run. He's executive producing. They're narrating a new series on Peacock called WWE Evil.
Why didn't they call it WWE Evil?
That's far too clever for WWE, man.
I guess so.
So this program is being described as a, quote, entertaining psychological expose into the minds of the most diabolical antagonists in WWE history and their impact on mainstream culture. Cena commented on this new show via Twitter, so he had to say, quote, for every good guy, there has to be a bad one. The WWE has created some of the best bad guys and ladies in the history of entertainment. Excited to highlight those who made us boo, scream, and sometimes cry.
These fools saw Dark Side of the Ring and decided to kayfabe that shit.
Exactly what it is.
That's the stupidest thing I've heard of. Anyways, that's dumb. Let's move on to some cool news here, man. Jinder Mahal, he's in line for a huge push. I can't get enough. I love this. This is great. So, former champ Jinder Mahal made his return to Raw last night after a quick stint there on Main Event. He got the call up to Raw, Larson, and WrestlingNews.co is reporting that he's going to be in line for a huge push with the plan to, quote, build him up for his eventual feud with Drew McIntyre in the summer months. However, Drew McIntyre doesn't have the title, so I don't know if a title's in Jinder Mahal's future, but putting him with them two big dudes, Shanky and Veer, that's a good start, man. I think they look like a million bucks together.
Yeah, it's a solid looking faction there. Is there a title in Jinder's future? No, more likely one in Drew McIntyre's future.
I could see maybe. You know, it'd be a fun feud is his Celtic workout warrior buddy Sheamus for the U.S. title. I could maybe. I mean, Sheamus is one of those dudes who can sort of go, you know, both ways. He can be heel. He can be a bad guy. He can be a badass heel, badass bad guy, or a badass good guy. Maybe after Sheamus is done with guys like Carrillo and whoever. Who was the other guy? Oh, Mansoor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if when Sheamus is done disposing of these baby faces, he can turn babyface himself and Jinder can come out of that U.S. title. I could see Jinder as maybe a U.S. champion. But WWE champion?
Highly unlikely at this point. But, you know, not outside the realm of possibility.
It's the right brand for it. It's the right brand for it.
Here's the thing about Raw, too. There's a lot of heels in the mid-card main event scene on Raw. Mm-hmm. You got Drew, who's kind of really the only face that's not, you know, that's not in a tag team now. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you could say Orton, because Orton's in the midst of what looks to be a face turn. They're mm-hmm. taking their time with it.
Yeah.
You got Riddle. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other people. But really, I mean, like, you know, like the number one face on Raw is Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be a pretty significant gap below him in terms of number two face on the show.
That's true.
But, you know, there's tons of heels
mm-hmm.
in the mid-card and main event scene. Ton. Well, I guess Braun is kind of a tweener.
Yeah,
could be face.
Braun,
could be heel.
Yeah, Braun.
He's just kind of Braun.
Braun is just Braun, huh? Yeah, he's sort of, depending on who they want to put him with, he can fill either role for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right about that. There is, I mean, honestly, like sort of across the board, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, I guess over on SmackDown, you kind of have guys like, I mean, he's in a tag team, but you got Rey Mysterio, you got Shinsuke, you got Cesaro now. Who knows what they're going to do with Daniel Bryan? If he resigns, and that's, I'm sort of assuming he's going to, he's probably gonna be like super part-time. I don't know. I honestly think that, like, looking at that on Raw, I kind of feel like it might be natural for Sheamus to sort of be a good guy at some point again. You know, he can kind of fill both roles. Speaking of Sheamus,
I'm just honestly kind of surprised that after winning the title, they just leaned so hard into the heel Sheamus when going into that match, he was just kind of filling that tweener area to a degree. You know, he was leaning heel in the feud with Drew, but after that, you know, I didn't really get any indication, you know, where he was on the heel face spectrum. You know, he's tweener or more tortheel. And then after he won that title from Riddle, it was just pedal to the metal heel.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It totally is. But at the same time, you know, anybody who wants to fight, and Sheamus, I mean, he might not want to put the title up, but he certainly wants to beat people up. I mean, that right there is a recipe for a good guy, you know? I mean that's people like that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I do think that he can switch pretty easily and fro. Like, Jinder, like, I don't see Jinder with them two big dudes being good guys anytime soon. I would see that for Sheamus, but I don't think those guys. But who knows? Maybe it's one of these guys that Sheamus has taken on, like an Humberto Carrillo or a Mansoor. But let's talk about Carrillo, because he had a pretty nasty scare last night. His match against Sheamus was stopped after a scary sunset flip powerbomb spot to the floor from the apron that seemed to leave Carrillo injured. Sheamus sort of landed fully on one side of Carrillo, And following Raw, numerous outlets, though, are reporting that Carrillo is just fine. PW Insider mentioned that their sources say he's okay, while Dave Meltzer said that Carrillo could wrestle Tuesday if he had to. Carrillo commented on the match today on Twitter, stating, quote, "Last night was the first time I couldn't finish a match in my whole wrestling career, but when you push the limits, as I do, anything can happen in the split of a second. This is not over, Sheamus. Until next time." I really like this as a feud, man. I mean, Sheamus, one thing, again, another thing that when fans come back, I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep him a bad guy if he continues to put on great matches like he has over the course of this year. Just a lot of great matches, and they were lining up for another one last night. It doesn't matter who you are. If you put on matches like that, people are going to start cheering you.
Yeah, they'll embrace you. They'll embrace you, that's for sure. Yeah, it just seems to be a pivot where, you know, he's a guy who just likes to fight. People can get behind that.
Oh, absolutely.
If,
yeah.
if you know, he doesn't necessarily have to do the open challenge on a weekly basis for the title, but just be like, hey, I want to go out there and fight.
Yeah. People are
going
to like that.
And if you're a good fighter and you give me a good fight, sure, you get a title shot.
All it's going to take is Jinder response. You know, Jinder goes through this thing with Drew, and then maybe sometime in the fall, you know, he responds to Sheamus's open challenge. And, you know, you get those three big dudes up against Sheamus. Sheamus is going to be a good guy. And I could totally see that happening.
Yep. SummerSlam, that's happening at some point. We don't know when, we don't know where. So on yesterday's show, we talked about a couple of rumors. Do you want to say it?
A new rumor.
Get it out of your system. Regarding the wins and wheres of this year's SummerSlam, here it is to recap. John Alba reported that WWE is looking at holding the show at Vegas, though nothing was confirmed. While WrestleVotes know that the promotion was looking at having the show take place earlier than usual, so just not in the typical mid to late August kind of window. So since our video went up yesterday, PW Insider reported that SummerSlam would be taking place Sunday, August 22nd, though they noted that WWE hasn't decided on a venue. Dave Meltzer followed up with the report after that one, saying that WWE was considering Madison Square Garden to host SummerSlam.
That was the venue
year.
I said that they would go with, Madison Square Garden. said Vegas, morning, and I said Madison Square Garden.
So this morning, Fightful Select, go subscribe to Fightful Select.
Yeah.
You get wrestling news right to your email. They're reporting that that numerous cities and venues are under consideration. They mentioned Vegas. They mentioned Phoenix. And somewhere in Texas. And not just, it was just like Texas says, kind of like a blanket.
It's a pretty big place, that Texas.
It's a massive place, yes. Fightful Select says they hadn't heard anything about New York City or Madison Square Garden. And added that August 1st was the date that WrestleVotes was referencing about an earlier SummerSlam. Of course, Fightful adds that nothing has been confirmed as of yet.
You know what they're doing here, man? They're weeding out their moles. everybody has different info and it's all very specific info. Ooh, there's a mole hunt. That's my idea here. They're giving everybody different information.
I'm assuming, like all things WWE, nothing is decided until Vince says, all right, this is what we're going to do. And he's known to be fickle and indecisive at times.
There's probably just a lot of stuff on the table. You're right.
Where can they have a crowd? You know, are there capacity restrictions at these places they're looking at? You know, I'm sure that, you know, we've heard this, that they want SummerSlam to be a massive thing. Recently, we heard that they want SummerSlam to be the kickstart of their return of the road. So they kind of want to make it like a summer WrestleMania, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you do a huge football stadium show like in Vegas, mm-hmm. you know, sell 40, 50, 60,000 tickets, make it a huge event. You know, hey, we're back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world's back to normal is kind of the message they want to send out there. Come to our shows.
Yeah.
I'm sure they want to do it in as much of a packed house as they can.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, if that is the moment where they're going to go back to live shows, you know, I mean, I could see they'd want to make sure that they can go back to live shows after this, like starting the Raw after.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that sort of complicates things a little bit more. I am surprised. I mean, and this is going back a little ways now. I am surprised that WWE didn't do more. I guess Vince was so satisfied with what Thunderdome looked like that he was like, oh, well, screw it. You know, we'll deal with fans. Maybe dealing with the idea of fans was such a pain in the ass in the early days when he really wanted it that he was like, you know what, we got Thunderdome, whatever. Like, I don't care anymore. You know, it's like, we'll get there we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll ride out Thunderdome and tell us, like, all right.
We know for certain.
Yeah. We know for certain. And as much as they're going to get, you know, the green light to full capacity, you know, just wait till then.
Yeah,
you know,
that's another interesting thing. Sorry, not to cut you out. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I'm sure when they want to go back on the road, it's not to half-filled venues.
Yeah, yeah.
Venues filled 25%. They want to go back to venues with no capacity limits, I would guess. And that's going to take longer.
Yeah, that would seem to be the case. I always thought, you know, from early on, I always figured that there would be no one moment when it was everybody's there. I mean, we kind of had our moment with WrestleMania, but given that that was a one-off, until we can have it on a regular basis, it gives them another, you know, goal to aim for to say, hey, now we're actually back. But I always figured that it would be like, you know, first they'd be in houses with 10%, then 25%, then 50% or whatever. But no, it does seem like maybe they looked at AEW and said, well, Daly's Place isn't really the kind of thing that we want. We want to go full or nothing.
And I'm sure the visual of WrestleMania was one thing because they could kind of situate people and the cutouts to make it look like it was full.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Than it was, you know, and they kept the house lights for the crowd relatively dim, so you really couldn't see past the first 10 rows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's harder to do to hide empty seats in a smaller venue.
Could be. Yeah.
And so, you know, they don't want the perception as if they're putting on shows, even though people understand there's a pandemic going on, there's capacity limits. They don't want to make it look like, hey, we can't sell out this building.
Yeah, but I know, but at the same time, now that I think about it, it's not like they were selling out at all.
No, they weren't.
They did a pretty good job pre-pandemic of hiding the fact that they were not selling out. Like, if you didn't get pictures from Twitter of people in attendance and you would just see what they would see on TV, I mean, I know there's differences now because of, like, you know, distancing and making sure that you're safe indoors. But yeah, I mean, they did a pretty good job of packing everybody where the camera can see them. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. For some reason, when we were talking about Texas and how big it was, I loaded up a map. I'd seen this before. Have you ever seen how big Alaska is compared to the rest of the United States? It's massive.
It is massive. Absolutely massive. You know what else is massive for us wrestling fans? NXT TakeOver, Steve.
Oh, it's the best.
And we know when the next TakeOver is happening, as first reported by Fightful Select and since confirmed by WB, the next NXT TakeOver is going to be in your house.
Really? Where?
Not there's your
no
house.
Room here? Maybe in my backyard, but not in backyard. My house.
TakeOver in your house will go down Sunday, June 13th. So you got about a month to prepare for it to be at your house, Steve.
Oh, man.
And former WB announcer Todd Pettengill
Oh, that's nice.
Will be the host for the show.
He showed up in the last one, didn't he?
That sounds about right.
That was rad. That's cool. Right on. That's about a month away. I'm in. I'll watch it. Sure. Why not? Anyways, speaking of NXT.
Yeah, we're going to watch it. Of course we're going to watch it.
Well, yeah, that's what I just said. I'm going to watch it. It's good stuff. We got an NXT preview right here for NXT tonight. Raquel Gonzalez is going to put that NXT Women's Championship on the line against Mercedes Martinez this Tuesday on NXT.
NXT champion Karrion Kross looks to punish Austin Theory in a non-title battle.
Oof. NFT Cruiserweight champion Kushida looks to best Santos Escobar in 2 out of 3 falls match.
That should be really good. Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf set to square off with years of history between them.
Ooh, wow. And then also NXT tag team champions MSK are going to battle Breezango tonight. Speaking of a breeze, it's going to be an easy win for MSK. That's all I got.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
You're right.
Anyways, I'm going to go lay in bed until Friendo Club TV. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it. Till next, I got my last jab today. So I'm trying to rest.
Drink plenty of water. Drink tons of water.
I've drank a whole thing of Gatorade and like 3 of these.
Good. Keep it up. See if you can drink 10 of those today. Goodbye, everybody.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.